Welcome back to another episode. Today we are talking Red Bud. That's right. Hopefully that turned out good. I don't have a single clue. We'll figure it out at when I go to edit this. But today we got Red Bud, the 4th of July weekend, the typical race for pro motocross, the one race of the year I'm able to get to, and boy was it a good one. Friday, amateur racing all day was awesome. Friday night, amateur racing was awesome. Fireworks, little eh, Friday night. Fireworks a lot better Saturday night. We got our first look at Tony Cairoli on his Ducati on Friday for press day. Looked pretty cool. He was out there riding a basically completely stock bike. No factory really anything done to it. The only thing he had changed up was some suspension things. He was pitting out of the factory connection suspension. I guess you can call it a truck, but it was more just kind of like a regular old box van type of, not even box van, just a regular size van, I guess, just kind of looking like a privateer out there with an easy up. Yeah, Cairoli out there, what is he, 38, 39 years old, I do believe. Bio, 39 years old, coming out, making Ducati's well-anticipated debut here in the United States for the AMA Pro Motocross and Supercross SMX whole season debut. He qualified 10th, so not too bad by Cairoli. And we also got to welcome back really the hometown kid, Chase Sexton, our defending champion. Happy to report he kept his goggles on the entire weekend. I saw some interviews where the crash happened. He took time off to heal some of that up, and then he said he just had some nagging things from Supercross he had to heal up. Obviously, he was in a championship fight in Supercross, so he wasn't really able to take any time off then. And then once the crash happened at Pala on lap 2 or 3, he realized he was 50 points down and might as well take some time off to try and heal up. But he did say, I didn't think riders were really paying this much attention to the SMX points as they are, because he did say he came back pretty much because of the SMX points. He said he wanted to take some time off to heal up, get healthy, get everything right, get enough testing done on the bike again. But he didn't want to stay out too long because he didn't want to slide too far down in the SMX points and lose some of that seeding he had. Obviously, he was coming into pro motocross, second place in the seeding after getting second place in the supercross, and then hasn't scored any points in motocross until this weekend, which, I mean, hey, he did fairly well, if you do ask me. Looked a lot better second moto, but of course, we'll get to all that when we get to it. One interesting thing that he did say was when he watched every single race that he missed, and normally when guys get hurt, they typically don't watch the races. They say they're too upset, they're too mad that they're not able to race. They end up not watching them. He said he watched every single race, and one thing he noticed was him and Tom Viel came into this motocross season with two completely different setups than what they were running last year. And I guess he texted or called or just somehow talked to Tom Viel and said they both need to switch this up and go back to more what they were doing last year. And I guess Tom Viel did that going into last week at Southwick. And yeah, we saw his best race pretty much since round one last week. Said he felt the most comfortable on it last week. And Chase Sexton even said he felt a lot more comfortable on what he's riding now, which is completely different from what he was riding round one. a little bit more of a setup that led him to the championship last season. So, I mean, while we're on Sexton, he qualified 8th, just over 2.5 seconds off of Jet Lawrence, who, shocker, qualified 1st. Sexton ran a 206.676. Now, I'm not super surprised. I'm sure it's the first time Sexton really got the heart rate elevated to like an actual race pace type of deal. So not super surprised that he might have came out a little bit slower. He did say he didn't really have any expectations on what he wanted to do or what he thought he would be able to do at this race. So he said he just wanted to go out there, ride his dirt bike, and see what happens. But like I mentioned a little bit ago, Jet Lawrence qualified 1st with a 204.021, the only guy in the 204s. Hunter Lawrence qualified 2nd, 1.1 seconds behind him with a 205.212. And it's starting to look, this 450 class is starting to look a lot like the 250 class 4-5 years ago, because Justin Cooper qualified 3rd with a 205.252. So just barely, what is that, a tenth, hundredth maybe slower than Hunter Lawrence. And I say it looks a lot like the 250 class a couple years ago because it's ended up being what the overall podium was them three out there. Eli Tomac coming off of a couple interesting races. He definitely hasn't had his best season so far, obviously, with only the one moto win in that shortened race at High Point. He qualified 4th with a 205.554, and RJ Hampshire rounds out our top 5 in qualifying with a 205.801. One thing I did find pretty interesting was Jorge Prado in 7th last week was easily his best week racing. Not super surprised with it being a sand track, but it looked like he carried a little bit of that confidence and momentum that he built upon himself in Southwick with a 206.215, sorry. Now, granted, it was just over 2 seconds off of Jet Lawrence, but there's been plenty of times we've seen Jorge Prado qualify a lot worse. And so I honestly think he will start to go up a little bit more as this season goes on. Starts to hopefully learn the bike a little bit better. Supposedly, he is not a fan of the bike, so that's obviously not a good thing for him or for Kawasaki. And supposedly, he doesn't really get along with what will be his new teammate next year in Chase Sexton. So that will be an interesting dynamic. So getting into moto number 1, we had, of course, it was the Honda Red Bud National presented by some flannel, Dixon Flannels or whatever. But no surprise, the two Lawrence brothers, the two factory Hondas out there, got two great starts. RJ Hampshire actually was the one who was able to split up the Lawrence brothers for a little bit. Hunter grabbed the whole shot. Jet was in 3rd. And Chase Sexton got a bad start. Once again, not super surprised by the bad start out of Sexton with it being his first real gate drop with 39 other guys around him. But something I did notice was his starting blocks looked like they were super tall. They looked like something you would see out of the MXGP series with the height that his starting blocks were. I noticed it big time in Moto 2 when they had an up close, a little bit closer of a shot on Chase Sexton right before the gate dropped. His his feet are basically already near the pegs. So I'm not sure. I know a lot of guys will put their boots and feet in front of the foot pegs to kind of create a little bit more leverage, to like lean forward a little bit more off the start, so the bike front wheel doesn't pop up as much. Now, they do have the starting devices on their front forks, which holds the front end down a little bit more. But that's just something interesting I noticed. I'm pretty sure Jorge Prado typically had some pretty tall starting blocks over in Europe, and I think he had them over here too for a little bit. I don't know if he's changed it up. I know he's changed up a lot of things, where now he's going 2 feet down instead of just 1 foot down. So I'm not exactly sure what Jorge Prado is doing now. But Jay Sexton, bad start. And one thing I noticed in press day, because I was able to be there for press day, didn't get a press pass, but I was still able to be there and watch. Coming out of the roller section, going into the finish line, Jet was either keeping the back tire down and the front tire up the entire way, and then the second to last one, he'd drop the front tire down, and then he would double over the little hump that's on the inside of that left-hand turn before the finish. And then a couple other guys started doing it, and it was the cleanest thing. He was the one who was able to clear it the cleanest, and I noticed in qualifying the exact same thing. A lot of, pretty much all of the other fast guys were doing it. I saw Hunter do it. I saw Plessinger trying it. I saw Chase Sexton trying it. I think maybe one of the only guys I didn't see try it was Eli Tomac. I might have just missed it, though. So, yeah, Jet was doing that, and then he was just kind of cutting straight across the track, going over that next roller on the inside, because it's left-hand, right-hand real quick, and then the finish line. And on the inside of both the left-hand and the right-hand, there was a little roller. So Jet was jumping over the first one and then going over the second one, going rolling over that roller on the second one on the right-hand turn there. So he was just cutting across the entire track there, and he was able to make a pass on RJ Hampshire there pretty early to get into second place. And then him and Jet and Hunter had an absolutely insane battle for a couple laps. They were going back and forth with a couple turns. There was one tabletop on the front section there after going uphill into what they call the orchard, and then downhill, and then back uphill, and then you come back downhill, and then you hit a right-hand turn before a tabletop. They even looked at each other on that tabletop, and then they were going up into the big, it used to be called the Talladega turn. I think they call it like the Mazda wall now. Jet was able to get past him there, and it was about a five-turn back and forth between them two. But Jet was able to finally make the pass on his older brother, Hunter. And then he just got it to the point where he had his typical 3.5 to 4 second gap over Hunter for a good portion of the race. And then he was able to stretch it out a little bit more towards the end, which I was kind of interested to see that he did that, because he did that in Southwick, where he just went out and straight up dominated everybody and didn't worry. He really didn't seem to worry about the gap last week in Southwick, and it seemed like he was kind of keeping his normal 3.5-4 second gap for most of this race in Moto 1. But then with about 10 minutes left, he started to open it up, and also with 10 minutes left, Eli Tomac out with bike problems. They weren't able to exactly diagnose it at the track. They just swapped out his engines in between the motos to get him back out there, and I guess they swapped out Cooper Webb and Justin Cooper's just to be safe as well before Moto 2. So, yeah, that was pretty interesting to see Eli go out with bike problems at Redbud. Typically, you see it at Southwick. But I guess Redbud this year caused a lot more bike problems than Southwick, which will be one of my big takeaways. So there's a little sneak peek there. But Justin Cooper was able to get past Plessinger for fourth place, going down the ski jump. So running order at that point, we had Jet, Hunter, Justin Cooper now, and then Plessinger. And it did not seem like Plessinger was really feeling the best. We were able to get into the pits, and after his first qualifying session, he was just kind of sitting in a lawn chair, all slouched down, didn't really seem the best. I don't see him every single Saturday in between qualifying sessions, so I don't really know what he's up to, but he was just kind of sitting there in like a little campfire type of chair, all slumped backwards, looked like a chocolate granola bar. That's the kind of source you'll only get here at Talkin' Moto. And he just kind of started to slide a little bit. He let up. Justin Cooper kind of got past him. And then Sexton was able to get past him on that Talladega turn. Sexton just ripped around the outside. And there was really no contest really at all from Plessinger against his teammate Sexton. So it seemed like maybe Plessinger wasn't really feeling all the best, but I mean, he did have the second fastest lap of the moto. It came early. He had a 206.958. The only other guy in the 206s was Jet Lawrence with a 206.637. And like I mentioned, Jet was able to kind of extend his lead a bit. He won it by 15.3 seconds, and I noticed Jet had a little tiny little celebration after winning this first moto. Just kind of threw a one up in the air, and it's really the first time I've ever seen Jet. We're using air bunnies here for this next word, celebrate a Moto 1 win. Even his first moto win in the 450s, just kind of 2 years ago, just went over the finish line. No big deal, no nothing, just business as usual. And even this year, coming back from injury, his first moto win there, just kind of seemed business as usual. Now, we did see him celebrate a little bit more after getting that win in Pala this year, but I've never really seen Jet kind of celebrate like he did after this Moto 1 win here at Redbud. So I'm not sure if maybe he was hearing some noise about the supposed Jet Lawrence Hayden Deegan rivalry, which isn't even a rivalry yet because, I mean, once again, they're not even in the same class. But Hunter Lawrence was able to finish second. And big shout out to RJ Hampshire. He had a pretty quiet race, kind of hung out in third for the most part by himself. A couple moves here, a couple moves there, and got his first career moto podium on the 450. So really happy to see maybe RJ Hampshire starting to figure it out. And it seems like he's riding this 450 a little bit easier than he was the 250. Now, he does have a lot more power on the 450, so that could be a big part of it. But really happy to see RJ Hampshire maybe figuring it out a little bit more lately. Justin Cooper ended in fourth, and Chase Sexton, his first race back. He started out kind of slow, like I said, bad start, but finished very, very strong in fifth place. Where was he off the start? Sexton was in 13th off the start. So, yeah, he was able to, he kind of hung around there for a bit, and then he started to just make his moves, make his way up past everybody, and finish with, I think, a very solid, probably not happy fifth place based on how far back he finished from Jet, but I still think it's a very solid fifth place finish for Chase Sexton in his return back. And big shout out to Cairoli, who we saw top five off the start. Pretty good starter. Once again, on a stock bike, not too much you can ask for, but he came out and gave us a ninth in moto number one. He wasn't able to finish moto number two, though, so that sucks for Ducati, but they still got a lot of press. It was talked about a lot at the racetrack. It was talked about a lot on TV. So very, very excited for Cairoli, and I'm pretty sure he will be back next week as well. Moto number two now. Plessinger. I mentioned he didn't look very solid there towards the end of moto number one. Didn't look very good in between qualifying sessions. Ends up he had a fever. He was out for moto number two. He posted a video yesterday, which would be Monday, and said he thinks he's been dealing with this for a while, and it was just something he didn't really want to believe. Said he felt bad for the team and all the fans that came to see him. But, yeah, he was out for moto number two. So that sucked to see the Cowboy out at Redbud. One of the biggest fan favorites everywhere we go, but especially Redbud, especially 4th of July weekend. Things stayed pretty close to the same, though, in moto number two, with Sexton having a bad start. But one thing that we haven't seen was Cody Shock grab the hole shot, and Jorge Prado was in second place. We saw Jet Lawrence in seventh and Hunter Lawrence in 11th. Chase Sexton wasn't even in the top 20 off the starts. And Eli Tomac coming back, he had 39th or 38th gate pick here for Moto2, and that translated into somehow a worse 34th gate pick, sorry. And that somehow translated into a worse start than Chase Sexton ended up having. But Cairoli also started in fourth place. So we had Shock and Prado leading one of the deepest 450 classes ever. I mean, Prado is definitely a big part of it for being one of the deepest class 450 classes ever. Holy smokes. I don't really know if I would say Shock is one of the reasons, but hey, he was out there doing it in moto number two until his muffler exhaust, started hanging, and he ended up not finishing the race. Prado was able to get past Cody Shock, though, at the double, where, like I mentioned, they go up into what they call the orchard up there. He was able to go inside and get past Shock. First lap, right at the end, right where I was talking about Jet Lawrence jumped doubling into the corner, did that and slid out. He was in seventh place, dropped all the way down to 18th place. And so now he was just a couple of spots behind Chase Sexton. He was able to make it past Sexton. They kind of, maybe he's a little bit more than a couple. He's probably four or five spots behind Sexton. Was able to make his way up to Sexton. And then just with 22 minutes left, so he spent 8 minutes just getting up to Sexton, who was in seventh place, just charges downhill and was able to make his way past Sexton. And then at that point, I remember I looked and told either my dad or my brother, I said, Sexton has a Jet Lawrence problem, because whenever Jet Lawrence is out racing, Chase Sexton seems like he just kind of gets in his own head and can never really make a pass or make a move on him or hold him behind him. But much to my dismay, I think would be the right word. I wouldn't really say displeasure, because, I mean, I'm not happy to see it. But I think it's, I think the word would be much to my dismay. Sexton kind of just grabbed onto Jet Lawrence, and they were able to make their way up the pack together. Cairoli with 23 minutes was out, and once again, not exactly sure. I don't think he went down, so I'm not, 100% certain where the problem happened for Cairoli, because, yeah, it was not posted on Pro Motocross's social medias. Where are we, though? Oh, Jet, making more moves. He just coming down from the Talladega turn. Him and Hunter had a great battle in Moto number one for a couple laps, multiple corners, switching back and forth, who's in front, who's in second. Jet just didn't let that happen this time. He just absolutely ripped around the outside, coming down the Talladega Hill with about 17 minutes left, past Hunter Lawrence. And there was action going on all over the track, because obviously we had Jet and Sexton coming through the pack, and then we had Justin Cooper up front, who was all over Jorge Prado for a couple of laps. And it seemed like Justin Cooper had a better line going through the rollers than Prado, and was able to make the pass there on Prado to get into first place. And I mentioned Jet and Chase coming through the pack together, because then a lap later, Sexton had a little bit more momentum. He went on the outside of the rail. He come down the ski jump and then the right-hand turn, where it's just deep, dark dirt, real deep ruts. Inside was not really working out all too hot. If you kind of got stuck in there, if you were able to leak over to the outside and kind of block them, that's the only way it was working out. Hunter wasn't able to do that. He went inside, and Sexton went outside and just had more momentum up that uphill double slash triple for fourth place. And then Jet Lawrence was able to make a pass on Prado for second place right after Larocco's leap. And then so Jets passed him, and then they hit the tabletop, and then they're going through the rollers. And I mentioned Prado maybe not having the best line through the rollers, because Sexton came absolutely flying. It's like he got shot out of a cannon going through those rollers. And was able to make a pass on Prado. So in one lap, Prado goes from second to fourth place. And then Jet, his eyes were on Justin Cooper, and Chase Sexton was still right there on Jet Lawrence. They were coming through the pack. It was honestly pretty insane to see what big of a turnaround one moto was for Chase Sexton, because he was absolutely, it seemed like he was back to his championship speed that he had last year here in moto number two, after it seemed like he struggled a little bit in moto number one. But with about 6 minutes, 20 seconds left, I say about, but it was basically exactly there, because I had the timestamp thing. Jet Lawrence used his little double line and after the rollers, and was able to get past Justin Cooper for the lead. And then Justin Cooper made a little mistake on the inside at the top of the orchard right after that uphill double slash triple. And Chase Sexton was able to make the pass for second. And there's about a 4.5 second gap with 2 minutes and 23 seconds left. So Jett was able to make a pretty quick pass on Justin Cooper once he got up to him. It took Sexton a couple laps and a little mistake from Justin Cooper for Sexton to able to get past him. And Sexton was honestly running a very good race. He went fifth in Moto 1. He was running really solid second in Moto 2. I thought there was a chance he was going to be able to get up to Jett and give him a fight. And then Sexton just pushes his front end over a rut right before the rollers. Goes from second, drops down to fourth. Justin Cooper able to get repassed him. And Hunter Lawrence also able to get repassed him. And that put Jett's gap all the way up to 11 seconds. Ended up winning by 9. But one thing that was interesting I noticed was after Sexton went down, there was probably about a lap where it was almost every big jump or every area Jett could take a peek, either to whatever side he just came from or behind him. He was doing that, I think, to see where Sexton was. So he recognized the fact that Chase Sexton was back on one and back doing his regular thing here in Moto number 2 until obviously he pushed the front end over the rut, which sadly also kind of seems like his regular thing as well. So in the end, Jett Lawrence ends up going 1-1 for the overall again. Justin Cooper able to get second here in Moto number 2, Hunter Lawrence third, and Chase Sexton, like I mentioned, going down late, finishing in fourth in Moto 2. So overall, it'd probably help if I hit 450 and not 250. Like I mentioned, Jett 1-1 for first, Hunter Lawrence 2-3 for second, and Justin Cooper rounds out the overall podium with a 4-2 for third place overall on the day. So I think it's just about time now for the 450 big takeaways. First one, two of them are people. One of them is not a person. First one is Jett Lawrence is an absolute freak. He showed us for the first time really that I can remember that he can crash, get up with no injuries. He take out the Hangtown issue he had last year where he crashed big on lap one and got hurt and wasn't able to ride to his full potential. And we saw that, wasn't able to climb forward. But this past weekend at Redbud, we saw him crash early and get up in 18th place after a bad start. So he went from 7th to 18th after a bad start. And then was able to just move his way through the field. He didn't have to go out there and go 1-1. He easily could have just let Justin Cooper, mine just blanked there for a second. Justin Cooper could have gone out there, won Moto 2, and Jett still would have won the overall. But Jett, absolutely insane to be able to go through the pack that he went through. Going through Sexton, Prado, Hampshire, who showed some speed early in Moto number 1, then Justin Cooper and his brother, be able to get past all of them and just absolutely dominate. And then he had, I think the gap, what would I say the gap was up to? 11 seconds, I think, at one point. Yeah, he had the gap up to 11 seconds at one point after being in 18th place. So just absolutely wild ride from Jett Lawrence in Moto number 2. Now, granted, Chase Sexton did do it a little bit better in Moto2 at Hangtown last year, where you went from 40th to first. But big shout out to old Jetson Lawrence to be able to go from 18 to 1 in Moto number 2 on a hot, humid day at Red Bud. Very difficult track, sticky dirt and whatnot. Big takeaway number 2, the man who went 5-4 for 5th overall, the hometown kid, Chase Sexton, made his return to racing. Big props to him. He kept his goggles on the entire day. Didn't have to ditch the goggles at any point. He did say Paula. I don't know. I feel like I said that weird. At Paula, he said a big rock hit him either in the head, in the goggles or something, and that's why he had to ditch his goggles. But he was able to come back. Two bad starts, not super surprised about it. Like I mentioned, he had the really, really, really tall starting blocks. But I'm not super surprised or concerned or worried or anything about his two bad starts, because he's coming back. It was his it's his first full race of the year. First real gate drop in a long time for him. Nerves might have been a little bit a part of that. Hasn't always been like a super great starter. Now it is very unusual to see him starting like outside the top 15 almost. Moto number 1, he started in 13th. And in Moto number 2, he's not even on the top 20 list. So, two bad starts. Obviously, he's got to clean them up a little bit if he wants to put in a little bit more of a fight next weekend at Spring Creek. But I was really, really happy to see how he rode. He rode very well, especially in Moto number 2. Yes, he had the little tip over while running second in Moto 2 towards the end. They said it on the broadcast. I think it's very accurate. You could see how much he was pushing there when he crashed because of how long it took him to get around Justin Cooper. And Jet Lawrence was able to just get around Justin Cooper so much faster than Sexton. And then Sexton knew he had the speed to run with Jet because he was doing it that entire race, because they essentially came through the pack together. So, big takeaway number 2 is Sexton being back at the races and going 5th overall. So very, very good to see that. Big takeaway number 3 for the 450 class is the track. They talked about it in the press conference a little bit, how the ruts were just straight up and down, and normally they're at a little bit of an angle to give you something to kind of lean against, but you can't, when the ruts are straight up and down, you can't really lean the bike over as much. And this was the first race where I really know, well, except for Southwick, because sand sticks to everything, it's the first like non-sand track where it really seemed like the dirt was sticking to the guys. So dirt was very sticky, made it very heavy for them. And I feel like that's probably a pretty big reason why old Eli Tomac's bike decided to give out on him 20 minutes into the first moto, and a little bit to do maybe in the 250s as well. But we'll get to that, of course. Big takeaway number 3 is how interesting the track was this year. I mentioned it earlier where I guess Red Bud was harder on the bikes than Southwick was, and usually you don't see that. Just big takeaway number 3. That took me way too long to get out. Big takeaway number 3 was the track. So now we are going to take a little peek at the points here, and it is not necessarily close. We have Jet, who has decided to just go out there and run away with every single overall, sitting at 290 points. Hunter Lawrence is in second place, and he is at 239. He's 51 points back. So now the gap has now grown for everybody, officially, over a whole entire day's racing. And Justin Cooper, 69 points back in third place. Eli Tomac in fourth, and Plessinger in fifth. And, of course, we got Chase Sexton way down at the bottom. Well, not at the bottom, but very, very close to the bottom, sitting 21st, actually, with 35 points. That is a lot more than I was expecting, a lot higher than I was expecting to see. But I guess that's what happens when you only got two moto scores to put in. Cairoli is 27th in points with 13 points. And I guess he will be back next week in Minnesota. So that will be very interesting to see. And of course, we'll get to our predictions and whatnot at the end of this episode here. But that now brings us over to the 250 class, where we have, I do believe, a first-time fastest qualifier, Ryder DeFrancisco. Ryder D was our fastest qualifier with a 208.014, and our points leader, Hayden Deegan, qualified second with a 208.563, just a notch over half a second. Well, half a second and a couple tenths slower than Ryder D's. And Dylan Schwartz was also a little bit of a surprise, poking his head in the third place spot in qualifying. He's on the Bar X, used to be Suzuki, now Yamaha team, I do believe, right? Yeah. Toyota Redlands, Bar X, Yamaha. He had some troubles, wasn't able to finish both motos, or wasn't able to finish at least one moto. I do believe he crashed out of one. But hey, showing some surprising speed. 2 seconds slower than Ryder D, but that was able to do it for third place in qualifying with a 210.015. And then we get into a little bit more of our typical faces we see up here in the top of qualifying. Fourth place was Joe Shimoda with a 210.756. And fifth place, a little bit surprising, was Juju Beaumare. He struggled big time in the sand in Southwick. He was expecting to struggle in Southwick, but I think he struggled a little bit more than he was thinking he was going to. But he came back strong with a fifth place here in qualifying. Now, before we get into everything, he will be missing a couple races coming up in these next couple weeks. But he was at Red Bud and did qualify fifth. And we had his teammate right behind him, Tom Vielle, with a 211.0. And what else? Drew Adams made his return to racing this weekend also. I just hit the microphone. Hopefully that wasn't too loud. He qualified 10th. He rounded out our top 10 here in qualifying with a 211.642 with his teammate Levi Kitchen right behind him. He had nothing else really crazy stood out in qualifying. I do know Hayden Deegan did crash in qualifying, and I guess he got a little bit of a holy smokes, Charlie Horse in his leg. I heard wasn't hampering him at all before Moto 1, then after Moto 1, apparently he was hampering him big time, then after Moto 2 on social media, he was saying you should have been in the, felt the pain I was feeling. So I don't really know if maybe he was, which one's the truth. I don't know if it really was hurting him, or if after that Moto 1, he was like, holy smokes, I got to find out a way to cover this up to make it look like I didn't just actually do that bad. So who knows? I guess we'll see. Did see a video of him walking. I think it was on Sunday. There was a little bit of a limp. He had a little wrap on his left leg. So interesting. But yeah. I think that'll about wrap us up here for qualifying. Ryder D, fastest qualifier. I do believe first time ever in pro motocross. Was one of the top amateurs. Was really hoping after he qualified fastest, he would be able to do a little something in the motos, throw a little shake up in there. But he just wasn't really able to do that. So that is little... give you a little insight here before we go and break down the motos. That was a little disappointing to me, but not super shocking. Hate to say it, disappointed, but not super surprised or shocked. So now getting into 250 moto number one. Now we had Joe Shimoda. I mentioned the big bosses from Honda were there all day long. And I'm pretty sure that was his first hole shot since, I think, 2022, I heard. And it was the perfect time to do it, right in front of all the big bosses. So he grabbed the hole shot. Tom Vial also had a really good start. And Vial was able to get past Shimoda pretty early, right after that ski jump on lap number one. Deegan came across the white line in 14th. So he had the crash in qualifying, and then he had the bad start in moto number one. And it really didn't get any better whatsoever for Hayden Deegan, especially here in moto number one. What do we have? He was 16th, Deegan was, at the end of lap number one. So he was 14th across the hole shot line, 16th across the finish line at lap number one. But he was working his way up a little bit. Lap three, I noticed he was the first 250 guy and only 250 guy to hit the big Loracos leap. He did it on lap three. It was the only time I saw him do it during any of the motos. I'm not exactly sure if he did it in qualifying or not, but I only saw him do it once during the actual motos. And ooh, couple turns after he hit the big leap, now on to lap four, right after the ski jump, the left-hand turn where some guys were kind of doubling through that turn, he decided to roll the first one. And then just kind of jump off. It's kind of like a tabletop, more of a tabletop than an actual double. He decided to roll it and keep going. But he had a very weird and slow crash. He just kind of, his back tire just kind of slid out. It didn't look like he got on the throttle too hard. So I'm not exactly sure how that happened or why that happened. But he went from 7th down to 11th. In all of this, two of his main championship competitors are running out front. Tom Vial, 10 minutes in, had a 5.4-second lead over Joe Shimoda. And we saw over the last couple years, Tom Vail going to Southwick, get a little bit of confidence, and then have some better results after Southwick. And I thought we were in for the exact same thing this year. Went into Southwick last weekend and finished on the overall podium. Thought maybe he gained a little bit more confidence. And he had about 5.5 second lead over Joe Shimoda. And not super surprising to me, really, because he knows how to ride up front. He is typically very consistent. He's just had a really, really bad start to this season, except for round one where he finished third. And in Southwick, he finished third as well. Everything in between there, to be honest, has been pretty poor, to say the least. So I figured maybe Tom Vail, good at starts, goes out, gets the lead early after a good start, puts in a nice solid gap over Joe Shimoda. I thought maybe he'd be able to manage it, but that was not the case after all. Levi Kitchen was a man on a move. He had a tough weekend in Southwick, not being able to keep, not eating enough, I guess he said, and just got really weak after his mechanic put a question mark on his pit board in Southwick. Really confused to everybody, even him, I guess. He was able to make a move on Seth Hamaker for third place, just on that big sweeping Talladega turn. And then shortly after that, Joe Shimoda was able to make a move on Tom Vial right after they come down from the orchard section into the tabletop. Shimoda was able to just go inside on Vial there, and he just started kind of running away with the lead at that point. Vial didn't really have much of a response or much of an answer from him. But Deegan, though, on the other hand, also didn't have an answer for the track or really his bike. His bike started smoking a little bit, and then he cross-rutted and face-planted right into a berm, the outside of a berm. Went from now 5th at this point back down to 11th. Earlier he went from 7th to 11th, worked his way back to 5th, and then went down to 11th. One person who was really gelling with the track was Levi Kitchen, and he put in the fastest lap. Nope, never mind. It was not the fastest lap. On the TV, they said it was the fastest lap of the race, and it was the second to last lap. I think it must have just been his personal fastest lap of the race on the second to last lap, and got right on the back tire of Tom Vial. And he was able to go in the same spot where Joe Shimoda got Vial. Levi Kitchen was able to get him on that final lap, it was. So Joe Shimoda ends up winning by about 7 seconds. Levi Kitchen in second. Tom Vial rounds out our podium in third. Didn't expect him to slide down to third, really, especially after having that big gap 10 minutes in at about 5.5 seconds, like I mentioned earlier. But the big loser of this race was Hayden Deegan, who finished in 14th here in Moto number 1. Another big loser was our fastest qualifier, Ryder D, finished in 12th. He did not have the best of starts either. He was not even in the top 20 across the whole shot line. So like I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, little upsetting to see Ryder D get the fastest qualifier and then not really able to make too much of it. But one other guy I want to point out here in Moto 1 is Jalik Swole, and he got 6th here, and that proved very big in Moto number 2 and for the overall in general with, well, let's just get into moto number two. Tom Vial got taken out in the second turn by Michael Moseman. Tom Vial just got pushed up against the wall of the track. His front tire hit the wall, went up the wall, and his bike said, see ya. And so that left Tom Vial very, very, very far back, while Joe Shimoda was able to get a great jump, and Jalik Swole was actually able to grab the hole shot here in moto number two. It says Vial was sixth across the white line. That is very true, but coming out of the second turn, he was in 40th place, and Hayden Deegan is not in the top 20 across the start. He got a bad jump coming out of the gate here in moto number two. So Deegan just really, really struggled after going down and qualifying. I guess he did put in a couple fast laps after that, but didn't seem to do too much in moto number one. Moto number two went a little bit better for him, though. But Levi Kitchen, I mentioned he gelled really good with the track in moto number one. He was in a good spot in moto number two. He was in second place, coming across the finish line, hooking back up onto the start straight. Just had a little too much speed, went over the edge of the turn, and just hit a slick spot on the track. Back tire slid out, and he went down. He went from second to 11th. So 250 guys, if they crash early in the race, or I guess late in the race, if they're in the top five, they just like to pick up the bike and be in 11th. Deegan did it twice in Moto 1, and now Levi Kitchen did it here in Moto number 2. And I guess in Moto number 2, there was it was unlucky to be in second place early in the race, because Jordan Smith might have had one of the craziest crashes that started with an insane save that led into a cord holding up an inflatable Monster Energy can. He said he hit a, right after the leap going into that tabletop, he said he hit a slick spot on the takeoff. He compared it to just wet concrete. It sent him flying left off the track, almost hit a couple of guys working for different teams. I think he even said one guy was there for his team that he almost hit, who had his back turned, but almost hit a couple guys working for teams, somehow avoided them, avoided the giant Monster Energy inflatable, and then just ran right into one of the ropes holding up the inflatable. And I do not understand it. I don't get how the heck he, one, saved it. He was flying completely sideways, saved it the first time, and then ended up running into a cord. But that's Jordan Smith for you. He will find some crazy, insane ways to go down while being pretty close to the front of the pack. And moto number two here for the 250s was just stacked with crashes, it seemed like, because then Hayden Deegan, just after that same jump, that same tabletop that Jordan Smith went sideways off of, he just completely stuffed it right into the berm, went from fourth, was able to get up in only sixth, though. And so that put him in a good spot where he was still able to come back and get second in this race, at least. But he had nothing for Joe Shimoda, who, going downhill, was just able to blitz past Jalik Swole to get into first. And then the very next corner, Michael Moseman was able to get past Jalik Swole as well, who Swole was able to get past Moseman again. 10 minutes left in this race, so 20 minutes in, Joe Shimoda already had a 10-second gap. So he went, what did he, he was the only one here in moto number two who was running lap times in the 211s, and only two guys, Jalik Swole and Michael Mosman, were the only guys who were able to get into the 212s. So Joe Shimoda, after qualifying fourth with a 210, was then able to go out there in moto number two, last race of the day. The track is the worst, the roughest, the toughest, all that stuff you want to say, and run a lap time only 1 second slower than that. So, hey, Joe Shimoda was absolutely on one. He had the gap at one point up to 20 seconds. Ended up only winning by 17.4 seconds. So he let up a little bit there towards the end, but still very impressive for Honda to go 1-1 in both classes. Joe Shimoda able to go 1-1 in the 250 class for his first win this season. I think it was his first win since 2023 as well. So it was his first one on this Honda team. I know he got, I think his last win was the last round of the 2023 season and kept Pro Circuit's streak going of year or season, Supercross and Motocross, with at least one win in the 250 class. Now we're just rambling about the past. Joe Shimoda goes 1-1. Jalik Swole, I mentioned that sixth place being very, very big in moto number one, because he went 6-3 somehow for second overall over Michael Mosman, who went 4-4 for third overall. And Deegan did save it a little bit here, went 14-2 for a fifth overall. Obviously, wasn't able to extend his points lead over everybody, but was still able to do a little bit. Now, once again, it would help if I had the 250 point standings and not the 450. Hayden Deegan sitting on top at 274. Joe Shimoda is 38 points back. So he, once again, is able to get that gap down to less than a race. And Levi Kitchen is just about out of it at this point. He's 85 points back in third place. And then Tom Vial in fourth. They're out of it. It is mainly a one-man race here with Deegan. Joe Shimoda is the only one with really an outside shot, hoping... Joe Shimoda's hopes are now that this Hayden Deegan crash in qualifying, which has now come out, it is a bone bruise in his leg. Shimoda's best hope is that bugs him and you just see more of what happened in moto number one for Deegan. Will that happen? I don't think so, to be honest. He'll get the get some shots in there, make it feel a little bit better, I'm assuming. But, yeah, honestly, I think that will about... No, Tom Vial. Tom Vial had a good first moto. And like I mentioned, down very early and was very far back in moto number two. Was able to scramble up to 21st, so still somehow able to get a point out of it. He went 3-21 for 13th overall. And Ryder D, a little bit of a better second moto, went 12-6 for 6th overall, one spot behind Hayden Deegan in the overall. I think it's big takeaway time. This first one, it's going to match the same one that we had in the 450 class, was the track. All the straight-up ruts that they had, there was a lot of different lines, and a lot of them got very deep, and they were very straight up and down. Guys weren't able to lean the bike over very well, and I think that's a pretty big reason why Deegan probably went down. in qualifying, and I think with the cross rut action he had in moto number one. But gets us to big takeaway number two, which is Hayden Deegan and points racing essentially in all weekend. Now, he was able to get fifth overall. Now, they don't pay the points out by overall. They pay him out by motos. So him getting second place in moto number two was a big saver for him. If he was going to go out there and finish 14-14, he'd be sitting somewhere around 15th, 16th, I'm assuming, overall. So, he was still able to lessen the damage of what could have been after the very, very bad moto number one with two crashes. Even though he did have a crash in moto number two, was still able to salvage a little bit of something. And big takeaway number three is the big Honda bosses should be there at every single race, because Shimoda goes out there, gets his first win on a Honda in pro motocross, at least. You know, I'm saying this, and I honestly didn't really check, and I just checked, and I was correct. First win on a Honda in pro motocross. He did start off Anaheim 1 with a win, and then obviously go on to break his fingers and all that. So, yeah, big takeaway. Number three is the big bosses from Honda should be there every week, because obviously it fuels Joe Shimoda a little bit. The big Japanese bosses went out and saw their Japanese rider go out there and go 1-1 on the day with, he's good in qualifying, two good starts, and then two good 30+2 motos. And of course, we know Jet Lawrence doesn't need any extra motivation from the big bosses, because he just goes out there and wins anyway. So now, looking forward to Spring Creek, we have Jeremy Martin in the 250 class coming back to race his final race at his home track, the racetrack that his parents own. The track that now his brother Alex Martin, who retired a couple years ago, works at as well. And I guess Jeremy Martin was out there working on the track leading up to this Pro National coming up as well. He said by the time the race comes around, he will be back on that Star Yamaha for a total of 6 days going into Saturday. So I'm not expecting too much. He was supposed to race the whole season, and then he crashed at Hangtown, I do believe it was, and decided, I'm just going to do my one last hometown race and call it a career there. So hats off to Jeremy Martin being able to step away here at the end of this weekend from pro motocross. In the 450 class, we have Cooper Webb, who has announced that he will be out for the rest of the motocross season. I did see this live during qualifying. He, right where I was saying Jet Lawrence was doubling out of the rollers, Cooper Webb was not doing that. He was kind of jumping that little inside roller, and his foot got stuck in a rut and swung his foot back, kind of tweaked his foot and ankle, and said he's just going to take a little bit of time and regroup now for the SMX playoffs. And with him doing that, the big thing is now his teammate Justin Cooper is most likely going to be the number one seed for the SMX playoffs going in for the 450 class. That is really the only extra news that we got. So I think it's prediction time. 250s. I've had this made up in my mind. 450s, we're going Jet Lawrence, because I'd be stupid not to pick him. I do think Chase Sexton's going to make his way back up onto the podium for the first time this year in motocross. But 250s, I think it's going to be Levi Kitchen. He was very solid at Red Bud. Just kind of couple little untimely errors that cost him. Southwick, he was on the podium, High Point podium, Thunder Valley podium, Hangtown podium. So his results, 16 at the opening round, and then podium, 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 and then 7th overall at Red Bud. I think he turns it around, doesn't only just get on the podium, but I think he gets on the top step of the podium. So we got Jet Lawrence and Levi Kitchen as our two race winners here going into Spring Creek, the very exciting track with Mount Martin there, the big rollers, sand rollers they got there always seem to open up some good passing opportunities. The classic Chadapult, where Chad Reed just his back tire swung out, flung him off the bike, went flying through the air, somehow still able to finish the race. But yeah, give me Jet, give me Levi, and give me follow talking underscore moto on X. Very excited for the Spring Creek race. Talking underscore moto on X. Go get follow, like, retweet, comment, all the fun stuff. And we will be back next week. See ya.